Welcome, pudding people, to another episode of Everybody Loves Pudding. We are your hosts, Richard Geiger, Ken Seymour, movie aficionados.
Here to do another brave new review
of a
action powerhouse of a movie.
I didn't want to go quite that cheesy on the intro, but yeah, absolutely.
It's got meaning behind it.
Sure.
We'll get into that a little bit.
We'll soar above the competition in how well we do with this episode.
And will the movie crash and burn into the ocean? Find out now.
Well, to start on kind of a less awesome note, as we record this, guest of the show and, you know, John Carpenter, movie actor, and just all around nice guy, Peter Jason, just passed away, man.
Sad day for the world of actors. And
he was so nice, and he's been in so many cool films. I mean, like, if you look on IMDb, 267 credits.
Is that all?
Right? He was prolific, you could say, going all the way back to 1967. But it was sad to find out, and I might have to put together a little grouping of his films to watch in his honor sometime here in the next couple days. All right. So now that we're kind of down in the dumps, at least that's where I've been the last few hours after I found that out, I was like, oh man, he was nice. Let's pick up our spirits by picking apart a film.
Yes, one of the favorite things we can do
to feel better.
To feel better, yes.
We are, of course, going to be talking about Captain America, Brave New World, the first film that I've been back to the theaters to see in quite some time.
I think the last one that I went to see was Inside Out 2. So not too long ago.
Yeah, but I've been kind of able to stay away. I don't know if wanting to stay away is really the one, because I like going to see the films, and I was ready. I tell you what, I went to see this film. It's like I'm going to see it, and I've got these days I can do it, and then all of my time disappeared all of a sudden. It's like, okay, I have this one time I can do it, and I get my ticket, and I'm ready, and I'm going to be there, and I get there early, and I'm going to get snacks. It's like, oh, I'm not ready to spend $30 on popcorn and a soda, so I stop by a McDonald's. And I pick up the new $5 chicken deal that they've got. And so I throw my McChicken in my pocket and got my soda in my inside pocket. It's like, don't pay any attention to the bulge in my clothes. Oh, there's nobody here. So it doesn't matter. Onto the theater.
You had a McPocket.
I did. And I'm going into the theater prepared. I'm ready. They got the 15 going, and I used to really love that because you could see some neat stuff coming up, and now it's just pointless commercials. There's never anything any good. You get to see Maria Menounos for about 3 seconds at the beginning and at the end, and she never has anything useful to say. It's like, but I've got my seat. I'm going there. It's like, okay, I want to be front and center, but I'm not going to be on the first row. I don't think. Maybe I want to be on the first row. I see the condition of the chairs. Not going to be in the first row. I'm going to go to the second row. Actually, it looks like they're cleaner and maybe have some cushions. Like, I'm ready. I got my stuff. I get my things ready, and then nobody comes in through the whole 15. It's like, ooh, I might get the theater to myself, and then the previews start, and then some people come in, but it's not a huge thing. It's not a big deal. It's like, I'm ready. I got my sandwich in my pocket. I'm ready for when the lights go down so that I'm not showing everybody I've got McDonald's in my pocket. And then with 2 previews left, please put on your 3D glasses.
Oh, you got the 3D one?
I said, I've got the 3D one? I didn't know. It's like, wait, what? I had to go out into the hall to go grab 3D glasses and watch it. And it's like, you know, it's been a long time since I've done the 3D thing. When they first brought it out, it was such a gimmick, and it was just pointless and awful. It's like, I bet it's so much. No, it's exactly the same. It's just crap.
Nope.
Oh, my Lord.
I could absolutely tell all the moments that they had presented that were like the 3D moments. I was like, oh, gosh. Okay. So a little backstory. Our theaters in our town, well, we have one now. It's old. It's old. It used to be, okay, it used to be
the
movie theater chain that I used to work for back in the day. One of them, Carasotis, is what it used to be. And then that company folded, and I can tell you why that company folded. Easy. But now it is an AMC. You know, there's plenty of those all over the place.
Absolutely.
We've watched movies in AMCs in Florida, and we've watched them in Indy. Actually, you can go to Greenwood, which for us is about 45 minutes away, and they've got a theater up there, and there's another one that's not AMC that's behind the mall that is very nice. It has big seats with recliners and like vibrating settings, and they have very nice theaters. Our theater is,
it'd be nice if it was 1960.
Aged, let's say. And above all else, if they just went in and cleaned,
yep,
it would be a lot better.
Yep.
The seats are
disgusting.
They're grimy and gross. They're cloth. Like the textured cloth that you'd find on, you know, early 2000s, I want to say.
Yeah.
In a lot of them, not the faux leather stuff. And they are grimy and gross.
Yeah.
So, yes, I noticed, and I'll go along with your 3D, because I noticed that for some reason there was a lot of show times for this particular movie. This first weekend, and 2/3 of them were 3D. So they must really be pushing the 3D aspect of it. I don't know.
Not sure what's going on.
I'll give you my story too, because I have a slightly similar experience.
Ooh.
Was all set to go on the weekend, do a little, you know, like Valentine's Day, go with my wife and hang out at the theater. And of course I got sick during the weekend, and my sickness has kind of continued to this day with an awful cough. So we didn't go when we wanted to go, and I said, I'm still going to go and watch this. Is that okay? Yeah, that's okay. Fine. And usually at our theater, it's not open, right? Like they don't, during the week, They don't do shows at noon or one. It's like 3, 5. That's not a great time. But this week, for some reason, they have a show at noon. And they had other films at around noon. So I was able to go at noon. Now when I looked, I cheat, I'm lazy. I go to the IMDb website to look at stuff, and they've got the show times on there, and they've always been accurate, but I always have doubts because it's not the official website. So I go to the AMC website just to double check, because I'm like, they don't have times at noon. Why is there a time at noon? And the time at noon was an open caption showing of the film.
Okay.
So you got to watch yours in 3D. I got to watch mine with captions on the screen the entire time.
That's hilarious. So substandard viewing in both circumstances.
Correct. Now, because I knew I had a bad cough, I wanted to avoid people. But much like you, there were very few people there.
Yeah.
And it's in like the biggest theater that is there.
Mine was not. Mine was at the back.
Yeah, ours was in the biggest, and I sat in the front, so like not in any elevated seats. These are the ones that you have to sit in, and you have to kind of stare upwards a little bit, which I like. I'm fine with. I don't mind that at all.
That's a good way to keep away from people in those, too.
That's what my thought was. Let's keep away from people. I won't bug them if I have to cough. Everything will be good. But honestly, the captions did not distract me at all.
Oh,
I
good.
like movies with captions, honestly. I wasn't paying attention to them that much, but they didn't detract from the movie.
Always depends for me. So, as always, we will begin with a spoiler-free kind of a general idea. Should you see this in the theater? Should you wait for it to hit streaming? Buy a copy on Blu-ray, maybe? Is it more like wait for a network television equivalent? or just, you know, skip it entirely? And then we'll go to picking it to pieces in our standard pseudoscientific way. And I would say for me, if you are a Marvel fan, it's not enough to see this in the film, in the theaters. If you're a fan of Anthony Mackie being, or the Falcon character specific, well, yeah, sure. But I think this is one you could probably wait till streaming to see.
Yeah. I don't know that you're going to miss anything consequential in terms of the overarching Marvel plot lines. I mean, the story has already been spoiled for you in the trailers.
Right.
You're not missing anything. You already know what's happened. Certainly don't go and watch it in 3D. If you're going to watch it, go to a matinee so that you can pay less to go and watch it. But, yeah, 2 months, 3 months, it'll be on Disney Plus. So
yeah, it'll be fine. Then. You're not going to miss anything. And now into the nitpickiness that is our pride and joy, a movie review. I think we'll start with some of the smaller ones. We went with, you know, just in the order the last time we did this. So we'll start with, let's start with the score. We had been doing that as our first thing. You can get a total of 10 points in score. And I have to say that, you know, as we've said so many times in the past, that this is a thing that can really complement what you're watching. It can kind of funnel you to the emotion that you're supposed to be feeling. You don't want it to distract you from what's going on. And I was not terribly impressed by the score of the film.
Yeah, so I feel like the world has been on a Kendrick Lamar kick the last couple months.
He sounds like he's on helium.
I don't get it personally. I've tried. Like, if you go and listen to the Black Panther soundtrack, which isn't all Kendrick Lamar, but it's a lot of it, that album's okay. At best, right. Maybe. He's got an album out that's one of the more popular ones from a few years ago. It's that got the Humble song on it, and it's that album is not good. Normally, I talk about how a score otherwise is complimentary or like feeds the mood. This was just really
too loud,
distracting.
Yeah. It was always in the foreground, and it's almost like it was there to cover up what they, it's like, well, I don't know if they're going to get that this is supposed to be a really serious moment. So let's, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's like, oh, the mix is so over the top.
Yeah. I feel like a theme for this movie as a whole is take a cheesy 80s action movie, but just put it in modern times with modern CGI.
Yeah.
The music is, it's not bad per se. It's just very not good.
Those two things don't go together. If it's very not good, it is by definition bad.
Yeah, it's the opening sequence. Like the opening thing that they're doing is just that background, that filler music, it's that's the first thing I noticed was like, what is this stuff that I'm hearing right now? Why is it so bad? And then it kept popping up.
Yeah, it's just, at best, it was overmixed and out of place, and at worst, it was distracting. I don't really think there's any more we need to say about that. For me, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and assume that maybe part of it was not the way they intended it to be. Maybe the theater mismixed it or something. I don't know. I'm going to give them a 7 out of 10.
Dang. Okay. So, side note, the captions did display at the bottom when music was playing that it was from an artist.
Yeah.
It would actually display the song.
Oh, nice. Name
and the artist.
That's handy.
So I thought that was kind of cool. But I gave it a 4.
Yeah. I think anywhere between 4 and 7 is fair on that.
Yeah, it was like it was the first thing I noticed, unfortunately.
All right. Well, let's go with some costuming and props. You know, maybe this is an area where the film can get its props. Sorry.
Okay. So. If you, as a comic book person, you like comics, you're familiar with so many of the characters.
Yep.
Okay. Give me 3 things that you could tell me about how, in your mind, the leader should look.
Well, generally speaking, while he is definitely not a pretty individual, what makes him stand out is the fact that his brain is very large. And because his brain is very large, it needs a very large skull to encase it. So either they tend to draw him with a very tall head or a very wide forehead or somewhere in between there like that. I got Toxic Avenger from the way they represented him.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So the leader, as I have little knowledge of, you're right. I would picture a taller head.
Right.
Like, still looks like a human head.
Right.
Just disproportionate. And the overall size of the head is slightly larger than the body.
Right.
It's more like, you know, forehead and up is taller, bigger.
Exactly.
Mustachioed, usually.
Or as they call it, the Van Dyke.
Yeah, so generally speaking. And green, of course.
Right.
But that's it. Does he have glowing eyes?
Sometimes, yes.
But like mirrored eyes, or just like they're green because he's green?
It depends on who's doing the thing, but he's had multiple different colored eyes over the years.
Yeah, but this is not at all
the
leader that I would have ever have pictured them to do. And apparently, the parts that were filmed, I read a snippet of an interview. He'd filmed them twice.
Oh,
so obviously they redid something.
Well, I mean, in terms of the Falcon costume, it's basically what we've had previously, and it looked good.
Yeah.
And I go, okay, we're going to have, because he's Captain America now, he's going to have his new Falcon sidekick. Let's give him the most bland version of the suit possible. It's just like, well, greens and browns. And he kind of blends in. If you look at him from above, he kind of blends in with the ground, and he just kind of.
Was that like intentional because it was part of the running joke between the two of them?
I don't know.
I'm trying to think here. Some of the other costuming things. I mean, there wasn't anything too crazy. Suits and ties, you know. And
Red Hulk looked good.
Yeah, he looked good.
Yep.
Tall enough? Was he tall enough?
Yeah, he was the right size. He looked fine.
The shield looked fine.
Shield looked fine. There weren't a lot of other MacGuffins to really deal with. I mean, all the other stuff they had was, it was okay. It was fine. Nothing to really be amazed at. While I didn't like the direction that they went with the leader, if they were trying to go with a more grounded approach, this is where my brain was. It's like, while I did not like the design, okay, I kind of get it. If they got a guy who was 6'5" and a foot and a half of it was his forehead, that may not play very well in real life cinemas. So I can see them trying to go a different direction than that. So it's like, I still didn't think it looked great, but it's like, what can you do? I was going to give them, again, benefit of the doubt, give them 8 out of 10.
I did 6.
I think that is also fair. Locationally, we got some places. We got to go back to the raft briefly.
That showed up. That's true.
We went to a different prison. We had the White House, very popular in cinema.
Cherry Blossom Lane.
Yeah, that was nearby. You know, the one thing that I had to laugh about as the fight was happening and they're leaving the White House and then they hit the Washington Monument. No, not the Washington Monument.
The obelisk?
The obelisk. When they hit this, like, man, Spider-Man just saved that from crumbling not too long ago. they couldn't leave it alone.
Couldn't leave it alone. Yep. Had to go in and trash everything.
Let's have one of those things. It was...
There's some ships.
Yeah. But you didn't really get to see in the ships very much. You got, like, in the war room. In the war room.
And, I mean, it's a plot point, but why was the president there?
Right.
And why was the president saying, like, fire the counter missiles?
I'm a wartime president.
You sure are. I've been into thick of things before. You got it.
I will lead. I'm just like George Washington on the one boat, except my boat's bigger and I got missiles. I was not.
We got to see the Celestial, right?
Yeah, we did. That was kind of fun. It was okay. It's like everything looked okay. Nothing really amazed me. Nothing looked terrible. I just wasn't amazed.
Nah. Wasn't too wowed.
It was okay. So I gave it an 8 out of 10 again.
I've stuck with a 6.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the director a little bit. Did you know this gentleman before this particular film, a Mr. Julius Ohna?
No. But he did one, like the Cloverfield Paradox.
Right. I did not see that.
That's about it. If you look into his background a bit, I feel like he grew up in cinema making his own movies, you know, like creating his own projects, and then he got a couple opportunities, and that's where we're at now.
Right. On the one hand, I had nothing to think of going into this, so it was kind of a blank slate, which is always nice.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, how did he do with the property? Did he get the actors to gel? Did he get the story across? And I had to think about this, like, because, you know, as we're going to talk about a little bit, neither of us, spoiler, neither of us were particularly pleased about this film. And I had to think, how much of that is the director and how much of that is the writing? And, you know, you can't deny that the director has some responsibility in this. But I don't really think he had much to work with. I mean, the actors seemed to gel fine. And he definitely put the story that was intended up on the screen. It's just that story wasn't great.
I think, and I mentioned this before, it seems to me like an 80s action film.
A little bit.
But with, you know, better current CGI and maybe some more colors, I guess. It just seemed to me that this could have been like a made for TV movie.
Yeah, a little bit.
Could it have been a Disney Plus exclusive? Yeah, I think this would have fit in that. As a series, maybe not, but as a one-off movie, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, but I think a lot of it, though, really, again, comes back to the writing more than what the director was doing. Because in terms of editing, I thought the scene transitions were fine. And I thought, you know, a lot of how they put it together was fine. But it's kind of like making a pie. I'm going to make an apple pie. I have two apples. Well, it doesn't matter how I cut those apples up. This is going to be a pie that's missing a certain amount of filling.
Well, it had, as far as I've read into it, extensive reshoots. And the movie was done a long time ago. And they didn't like something, or something changed in the world, or all these things came and went. There was a major character that used to be in it. It's not in it anymore. Like I said, the leader's parts were completely redone because they were filmed, he said, twice. We had to do them two times. It just seemed like there was a reason behind that.
Yeah. And we don't know what it is, but whatever he did to fix it didn't work.
Didn't work.
So
maybe this director's got great things in his future, but this would be what I would say a practice run,
yeah,
on how to create a film, and maybe next time it would be better.
Yeah, I like it. I'm going to give him a little bit of benefit of the doubt on this one. I'm going to give him a 10 out of 15. So, yeah.
Yeah, and who knows? He might have been the director, but was he ultimately in charge of everything? Probably
so,
not.
Yeah, so often that's not the case.
But there were definitely some pacing issues. There were definitely some issues where things just seemed out of place in terms of why we are telling the story when we were telling it. And that goes into editing. That goes into putting the proper things on film,
right,
in the first place. So I'm going to put more of it on him than probably what I should, but I'll go 6.
All right. Now we're going to talk a little bit about the cast. All right. We get some people that we've gotten to know a little bit. Of course, Anthony Mackie, very charismatic gentleman. I like him as Sam Wilson a lot. We replace Thunderbolt Ross because we have to, and if you're going to replace him, might as well replace him with an icon like Harrison Ford. Got Danny Ramirez reprising his Joaquin Torres character. We get Tim Nelson back as Samuel Stearns. I like Tim Nelson a lot. He's generally pretty awesome. Giancarlo Esposito, oh man, what a legend. And they put him in as a member of the Serpent. It's the Serpent Society. Serpent Society, there's alliteration to it. It's not like, we're the Serpent Corps or Serpent whatever they wanted to call it. It's the Serpent Society.
And why couldn't you do the Serpent Society as all the embodiment of the different snakes that they are?
Well, like, it might
I'd
seem
be okay
silly,
with that.
But I'd be okay with it too.
Like you need a group that can get beat up. Right. Why not be someone who has like you know, like snakes with like they've amputated or like they put mechanical pieces in their arms to now have them be whatever, you know, Sidewinder is. I forget. Sidewinder have like the little electric whip things that come out of his arms,
No,
or is that?
that's not Sidewinder. That's I'm having a moment. It's not Anaconda,
Copperhead.
something like that. You know, so I mean, but yeah, I mean, I would like to see it. Sidewinder's the teleporter.
Oh, okay. Well, that would have been dope.
Yeah, it'd have been great. I mean, we got a brief moment of Liv Tyler. We got a brief moment of Sebastian Stan. Apparently, there is the wrestler by the name of Seth Rollins had a really small part in there. I don't remember seeing him.
Because his part got cut.
Ah, is that right?
Yeah. He was part of the what people are speculating was he was part of the Serpent Society.
Oh, why get rid of the Serpent Society? Okay, fine. Fine. We get Carl Lumley. He's generally good. And Shira Haas as Ruth Bat-Seraph. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the names that excite me, we had for 2 seconds or were mishandled.
Yes.
It's like, I want to be excited about the cast because they did get some names, but it's just, it's like, yeah, all the people you love, you get them for 5 minutes. And then everything else is basically, you know, just nothing. Okay. That was less than thrilling.
Yeah, Tim Blake Nelson probably would have been fine how it was originally shot, but in this sec, whatever we got was just very bland. Giancarlo Esposito was, I guess, added in the reshoots. He wasn't in the original
Was it?
writing.
Well, I was wondering about that because he was all over the previews. It's like, oh, he's going to be the big part of the big. No, he is nothing. He's there for a second and he's gone.
Yeah, his parts are just like tossed in there, right?
Yeah.
Like they did, they all seemed out of place, and his performance in them seemed out of place. He just wasn't. He could have been the right person.
That
It
would have
just
been a great villain.
wasn't the right person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's like, well, maybe that's real, and I'll get back to this in the plot. It's like they had an idea for a Captain America film, and they had an idea for a Hulk film, and they go, well, we were going to make both of these, but now we can't. So let's smush them together and hope we get something okay. And it wasn't enough of either.
Yeah, it seemed to me like it was more of a Hulk film that just happened to be encased around a Captain America espionage film,
Yeah.
right? But you're right that you can't title the film anything to do with the Hulk,
Right.
right?
Right.
That's not how that works. Darn you, Universal. But I just have a feeling that what we got was an amalgamation of ideas that came after the original idea was presented. You know what I'm saying? Like
Yeah.
there was something else that happened here.
And I have to say this about Shira Haas being added in. She's got some decent stuff that she's been in, and apparently she's a pretty decent actress. Really haven't seen much of her stuff. But all I could think of, it's like, okay, she's a former widow. It's like, she's 3 feet tall. It's like we've got Dr. Ruth the Black Widow in there, a young Dr. Ruth. I couldn't take her
Yeah,
seriously.
she and her acting was subpar
Pretty
in
cardboard.
this. I'm sorry, she was the worst part.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I hate saying that, but
Well, I mean,
it was,
we tend to be very careful. We try to chalk up a performance often to the writing, and it could partially be the writing, but we have to place part of that on just the performance. It was, her performance is just not good.
No, not good. You know, one of the characters that we did see that was a side note was Commander Dennis Dunphy.
Yeah.
Which I had to look up. I was like, these people are characters. I know they are. What is this character? And he was kind of a one-off kind of throwaway actual real character in the comics.
Yeah.
In this movie, he wasn't portrayed apparently quite like what he is in the comic books. He was a little sharper in the movie. I actually liked his character in the movie.
Yeah, he was fine in the film. I mean, for the 2 seconds we got to see him.
Yep. And you knew you'd get, had to get Liv Tyler.
Right.
That's all I ever talked about was the whole plot driver.
Right.
Was making up with my daughter. You knew she had to make an appearance. Everyone else from the Hulk movies has.
Right.
Like, everyone has at this point. Except for, there's one person that hasn't. And we're hoping we get a Doc Samson.
God, that'd be good. That'd be so good.
But anyway, she seemed off. Like, was she just all CGI'd in there?
No, she is real. But I mean, it's one scene. We got a phone call and we got her live in one scene for 3 seconds. It's nothing. And don't get me wrong, I love Harrison Ford. He was not great in this. I hate to say he's just old.
Well, so he is, and that's fine. Why did you pick him?
Right.
You could have gotten someone else who is younger, who could play this character for the next 5-10 years.
Right.
And probably would have been cheaper, and also would have been okay with having a mustache. There's a lot. I mean, Harrison Ford's, you've seen interviews for him. He's like, you know, like, it's a paycheck. You know, of course it is. Like, they're going to throw money at you to do this. And you're going to say no? This is cakewalk for him. Kind of showed it, but he wasn't the worst part of the movie.
No.
By any stretch.
It's just when you know what he's capable of and then you see what we get. That was a little disappointing.
Yeah.
I mean, truthfully, the ones that seemed like they were really giving the full performance, Anthony Mackie, I got to give props to him because, I mean, he saw this. This is his first real headline film, and he gave it everything he could. And, I mean, he's got so much charisma, but there's only so much one guy can do. You got to have the support.
Yeah. I agree.
So for me, that's an out of 20 thing. I gave it a 12.
I did 16. I did more benefit of the doubt on this.
Yeah. I was a little more disappointed on this side. Then we go to cinematography. This is going to be out of 15. It's like, you know, the blocking and the CGI and all that other stuff that normally, you know, we love to make fun of. I thought most of the, while it was formulaic, very formulaic, but it was fine.
Now maybe this was because I was watching it on a ginormous screen that filled up the entirety of my field of view.
Right.
But I thought to use, you know, like, cause we're hip young cats nowadays.
Right.
I thought most of the fight sequences were very mid. And although the CGI for the Hulk character was fine, some of the other CGI stuff was not the best. A lot of the stuff in the ocean was not great, I didn't think.
I had a hard time telling, to be fair, because I was watching it in the 3D.
Oh, that's true.
So my score's maybe going to be a little off. And again, I'm trying to give a little benefit of the doubt here because I was wearing glasses on top of glasses. So I could see the equivalent of, what was that thing when we were younger that you could put, there's the red thing and you put the little disc in and the slide, you hit the button to go from slide to slide.
Yeah.
It felt like that. And so I was doing my best to see what I could see, but I'm not going to have a whole lot I'm going to say because I don't think it would be fair, completely fair, to give it too much detail on this. The only thing I could go with is like, well, assuming everything looked right, was this the staging that I would have given? Is this how I would have transitioned from scene A to scene B? Is this the distance that I have gone out with the camera? Yada, yada, yada. And for the most part, from that criteria, it was fine. But going into the specifics, it was kind of hard because I had a very difficult time focusing.
Yeah, so I feel like you have cuts in movies that are like Clint Eastwood, very minimal.
Right.
Right? But with his storytelling, they tend to work. Then you have other ones that are like fast-paced and moving, and you have wide shots and all this stuff, and sometimes you get a little too much of that in there. You know, let's say a Zack Snyder, for example.
Right.
Kind of tied in with stupid slow motion and music overcuts. Anyway, I think what you got out of this in terms of what you saw with the cuts was like you went to film school and they gave you tips on how to cut together things, and this is what you got.
Pretty much.
Cool. Fine. You know, not bad. Not great. Not bad. It's more of the, like I said, some of the CGI stuff was just not great. And the fight sequences felt like, to me, like they're in slow motion. So you could see a lot of the flaws.
I'll have to take your word for it on those. Everything, for the most part, again, I couldn't really, really tell because of everything that was happening. But, you know, it was okay, I guess. I did have one fun bit when Falcon's chasing Bradley out of the White House, and Bradley does the big jump, and then he's got no equipment on. It's like, yeah, let's take the stairs.
Yep, yeah, that was pretty fun.
I did enjoy that quite a bit. I'm going to give him a 13 out of 15 on cinematography.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, about that. I did 7.
Yeah, so maybe if I watch it again, and that's a big if, when I watch it in the regular way, I'll have a more accurate score.
Yeah.
All right, down to the plot and writing. The big cheese. This is the thing. Maybe one of the more boring plots I've ever seen in an MCU film.
Yes. Everything was predictable and everything was already given away by the trailers.
Yeah.
All you had to do was read any of the tiniest bit of anything about this film. Oh, Tim Blake Nelson's in it. Well, he's the leader. Like, you don't have to know anything about what his part is. He's in it. He's the leader. You're like, okay, he's a bad guy. Like, that's, we know that.
Pretty clear.
Yeah, and like, oh, the Red Hulk's in it? How did the leader get the Red Hulk in there? You know, like, there was no secrets.
No.
There was nothing. If they would have just not done any at all Red Hulk stuff in any trailer period at all whatsoever, it still wouldn't have been a surprise.
And if you're going to have something like that, where you're going to have a guy that's not going to be a surprise, how about you take it a different direction? You're talking about a brave new world, right? What if, for once, it's not he's got a plot to do this thing, and it takes the skills of the Falcon and to be able to, with his friends, and they stop it, and blah, blah, blah. How about this? How about the leader, who's really smart, is smarter than everybody else, comes up with a way to do mind control on the entire group of everybody, just basically outmaneuvers them at every point. How about if he's building his organization and you don't really beat him by the end of the film? How would that would blow people's minds if not only did they not kill him, they didn't catch him, maybe they stopped something from happening, but it was all part of his thing to start setting up his organization of whatever. Give us something different.
Yeah, it was. I felt like the only thing that was a surprise, and it was actually just a jump scare, if anything, was when Anthony Mackie's driving in his big fancy blue F-150 Raptor, you know, like product placement. Thank
right.
You. And then it explodes. And then now all of a sudden there's somebody shooting at you. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But the whole sequence was still even...
Not that impressive.
No. Well, like I said, the fact that he was on the ship calling the shots for the missiles. And how did everybody get everywhere so stinking fast in this movie?
They don't understand. Well, okay, to be fair, there's like extraterrestrial technology available now, and like...
But he was on Air Force One.
Was he?
Yeah, remember they filmed like the outside of Air Force One?
Maybe.
And then on the inside he's like riding his bike.
Oh, that's right. Maybe Air Force One has Iron Man repulsors on it now.
I guess. Like the time frame on these things was just weird. Like,
it was real weird.
You'd go from one place to another. They're driving the back roads to get to Missouri or wherever it is. And then they get from Missouri back to wherever they need to be, like in an instant. I know that they were flying, but it just, the time frames were weird.
Or when the president's giving his speech and he's surrounded by that glass semicircle screen presentation piece that no one has ever seen anywhere, ever. And I know it's supposed to be, you know, feel like it's modern or whatever, and it was out of place. It didn't feel right. The whole point of the president isn't a salesperson. He's the president. He just says what's happening, and then that's it. He doesn't have an Excel spreadsheet that he's pointing to, or what's I forget the name of the program to click from slide to slide.
Yeah, PowerPoint.
He's not giving a PowerPoint presentation. What's happening here?
Yeah, everything just seemed to be him being in places where the president normally wouldn't be, you would think.
Right.
Normally.
You mean like,
and getting to those places.
You mean like the Super Bowl?
Hey, president can go where they want to go.
As long as it only costs us millions and millions of dollars.
Chump change. But I know he's a wartime president, right?
Yeah.
He's been on the field battling the Hulk. We've seen it before, yep. Right? He's been in New York City battling the Hulk, flying in the helicopter above New York as the Abomination trashed the city, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
We get it. We've seen that. Do you think the president would be on a battle cruiser?
Never.
In the middle of the Pacific?
Not a chance.
Coordinating the attack that's not the attack, but like, and then have his ship be the one that gets, you know, like buzzed by the explosion on one of the ships.
No. No.
No.
Never. Never, 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 never.
No, that was just plot points, you know, because we had to show him, you know, getting riled up, but then controlling his anger as he squeezed a pipe, you know.
as he squeezed something.
Yeah, cool. There was just a lot. So here's how I can relate this one. You know, sometimes when you're watching a movie and you're just like, you, in your brain, you see what's happening before the thing is happening.
Oh, yeah.
Or you're with someone and, you know, like you have a good enough relationship with that someone and you're not bugging anybody else. You're like, I bet this dude's going to get killed. You know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're just having those mental talking points. That's bad. But is it bad because now you've met every single formula of how that movie is supposed to be? Right? Let's flip the script here. It's so bad that it's actually good because that's exactly how the plot is supposed to be.
Yeah, I think you're reading too much into it.
Probably. I just really want to get a fake number here so that I can get my score where I want it to. That's really all it is.
Well, go ahead and give your rating out of a score of 20. What would you give it?
Okay. So in reality, the plot should be a 5. But once again, I need to manipulate my points. So I'm going to give it way too high and say it's 15.
I gave it a 12.
Yes.
Going with it's just boring. I knew everything that was going to happen. There were no surprises. There were no flares that I thought were neat. It was just, and the stuff that I had didn't fit right and didn't present right. It was just weird.
So, when's Bucky showing up? Oh, there he is.
Yeah, exactly.
And when's Betty showing up?
And he's running for Congress. Of course he is. Sure he is.
But let's go one step further with this. The post-credit scene was worthless.
Yeah, it didn't really say anything.
Worthless.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I want to get excited for the next thing to come. It's like, the probabilities, It's like, okay, be more specific. You need to be more specific.
Thanks for making me sit through credits for 5 minutes for absolutely zero excitement building.
For the people that don't know the comics, they do not have any idea what you're talking about. Now, I do. I already know what's coming. That's fine. But you need to give just a little bit more to to get the non-comic people to get interested.
Or show somebody else in the raft.
Yeah.
Show one of the other cells.
That would be really cool.
Whatever.
Or show a therapist with bright green hair and somehow has muscles now.
Yes. Come on. We need that character.
We do. Neither of us have bonus points. I'm just going to jump past that. We're getting towards the end here. Richard gave it a gentleman 60, which is just above failing. Just barely squeaking past failing.
Points manipulation.
Yep. And I gave it a 70. That's a C-, which I feel encapsulates what I feel about this film. It was just below average to me. It's like, I see what they're doing. It's not exceptional. And they didn't do a good job of not making a not exceptional film. So it wasn't awful. It just wasn't impressive in any way.
Yeah. Listen, we both know that the next two movies are going to be the best of the bunch for this year. And that's okay. But come on. Come on, man.
Give some effort. Any effort, please.
Yeah. Whatever.
Were we on point, listeners? You can always let us know. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the matter. You can contact us on Facebook, of course, Instagram. You can contact us on X, so long as it still remains a standard social media thing and doesn't get turned into some stupid ass banking app.
I mean, it's basically there now.
Oh, geez. But let us know. We'd love to have your opinion. Until next time, keep watching some films. Watch a classic 80s film. You know, wash the bad taste out of your mouth. And we'll meet here next week.